guidance in the name Yahweh, the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is Brother Arnold with the Repair the Breach broadcast, Restore a Past Dwelling. You know, we've been talking about, I believe, a very important subject pertaining to the traditional weekly Sabbath is mathematically impossible. The reason for this is because you cannot have an uninterrupted cycle from creation, as they claim to have, without having two of them. I know that may sound like impossible, but that's exactly what you'll have. And you'll have that whenever Adam's descendants migrate east and west from the Garden of Eden, and they're counting 1 through 7 and keeping their Saturday Sabbath, the traditional Sabbath. Well, when they meet on the opposite side of the earth, they'll be in two different cycles. It takes very little meditating to see this as an absolute, and there's no way around it. The reason for it is because when people are traveling east, they'll be seeing the sun as they go around the curvature of the earth. They'll meet the sun before those that stay in Jerusalem meet it. In other words, they'll keep the Sabbath, and then it'll go on around to those in Jerusalem. Then they'll keep it. There's nothing difficult about that. They'll get 2 hours ahead of Jerusalem, then 4 hours. The further they go, the further they'll get ahead of Jerusalem. When they get on the opposite side of the earth from Jerusalem, or the Garden of Eden, guess what? They'll be 12 hours ahead of Jerusalem in their Sabbath keeping. This is not rocket science. You don't even have to be spiritual to understand this. You just gotta think. If you can't believe me, you can call the U.S. Naval Observatory or NASA, or ask anybody that's got a mind that can think. You know, it's not that hard. It's just common sense, really. And as I said, you don't have to be spiritual to see this. Now, if the man traveling east can get 12 hours ahead of Jerusalem, I had a guy tell me the other day you can't get ahead of Jerusalem, but I'll elaborate on that in a minute. But you can. If you're sitting there in Jerusalem and you're keeping Saturday Sabbath and you start migrating east toward the sun and going around the curvature of the earth, you'll get ahead of them, because when you go around the earth, you're going to see that sun come up before they do. But anyhow, it's an absolute. Okay, the same thing if those going west. They'll be going away from the sun around the curvature of the earth, and then Jerusalem will keep it, and then they'll keep it 2 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours later. When they get, just like right now, we're keeping it, the people here in the U.S. are keeping it 8 hours after Jerusalem keeps it. But when you get on the opposite side of the earth, Jerusalem, you'll be keeping it 12 hours after Jerusalem. Now, there's no problem so far. Those that are traveling east keeps it 12 hours before Jerusalem. Same cycle. Then Jerusalem will keep the cycle. And then the people that went west, away from Jerusalem, or away from the sun, they'll keep it 12 hours after Jerusalem. But when they meet, and sitting in the same house, in the same room, on the same sofa, in the same day, they'll be 24 hours apart in their cycle. In other words, if they were two brothers and they traveled around east and west, got on a ship, went east and west from Jerusalem, and come around 5 years later, 10 years later, don't matter. They run into each other. One brother that went east to keep his cycle first, because he seen it first. But the brother that he's sitting there on the couch with, I keep it the next day, 24 hours later, because he's got to wait till it gets around to them. This may sound crazy or stupid, I don't know, but it's an absolute fact, just as sure as the air we breathe. This needs to get out to all the Seventh-day Adventists, all the people that believe in this so-called uninterrupted cycle. See, Yahweh didn't choose that kind of system. You know why? Because it's confusion. And he's not the author of confusion. Imagine the descendants from one tribe that come in from the east and the other descendants from a tribe come in from the west. And they got, a man and woman got married from each tribe. And both of them has kept 1 through 7 that was handed down to them for 1,000 years. Neither one of them can, according to their doctrine, break the Sabbath. They would break the cycle. Well, what are they going to do? The man keep it, the cycle Saturday that went east, then his wife keep the day holy on Sunday. That's when her cycle would be. But what cycle would the children keep? See, the scripture only teaches one cycle. I would like somebody, I'm going to give a cell phone number. I'd like somebody to comment on this and tell me if I'm wrong or not. And let's see where I'm missing it, if I'm missing it. This is why, if you don't gain and lose a day, people, Magellan discovered this when he sailed around the earth and got back to where he started from and discovered that the people were on a different day than his log, and he kept correct tally, they knew something was wrong. And other ships has done it. And this is why the what they call the International Dateline was created. The International Dateline, it's an imaginary line, man-made, placed anywhere he wants to put it, and he tells the people, here's how we're going to solve this problem. When you cross the line, if you're going east, naturally you'll gain a day, so what you need to do is subtract a day. But if you're going west, you're going to lose a day, so what you need to do is add a day. And that way, when you get on the other side of the earth, you'll be on the same date as the people there. Which is true if you do that, but crossing that line don't change the cycle. You're still a day apart, 24 hours apart, because 12 and 12 is 24. One of them's 12 hours ahead of Jerusalem, one of them's 12 hours behind Jerusalem. But they're 24 hours from each other in the cycle keeping. This is it's an absolute fact that cannot be intelligently argued against. You can argue against anything. You know, I want to announce, too, that we got the Feast of Trumpets or Feast of Shoutings that's coming up. Actually, today, tomorrow, day begins at evening, and it's the Feast of Shoutings or Trumpets. It commemorates the creation when heaven and earth was created, and the angels, according to Job over there, the sons of Yahweh shouted for joy, you know, applauded his handiwork. And I asked people, of course, then on the 10th day of this month, we're going to have Day of Atonement. And I think I told on the radio, I discovered what the Day of Atonement, what I believe the Day of Atonement commemorates. Now, everything commemorates something. I'm giving you an example. I always wonder what the new moon commemorated. We know the weekly Sabbath commemorates the rest. That Yahweh rested, we're to be imitators of him, and we're to rest the Sabbath day, just like he rested, right? Okay. But the new moon I believe, commemorates the creation, where it says in the beginning, a Bereshit of your months over there in Numbers 10. It's the same Hebrew word as in the beginning when Yahweh created heaven and earth. Everything was dark. And then Yahweh worked on his creation for 6 days. Then he rested the seventh day, which would be the eighth day of the month, if you counted the new moon day. Well, the new moon commemorates creation. The weekly Sabbath commemorates his rest after working on it for 6 days. But what does the Day of Atonement commemorate? I believe y'all will let me know. We know that Tabernacles commemorates dwelling in booths when they left Egypt, right? If something happened on every one of these days, you commemorate something happened in the past. We know that unleavened bread commemorates them having to leave in haste before the bread rose, leaving Egypt. Instead of commemorating both of these in the first month, he put at the two equinoxes, one in the spring and one in the fall, the first and seventh month. And you keep these 7 day feasts. Now we know Pentecost commemorates the giving of the law, because it was the same day that the law was given that Aaron said was a cog, a Pentecost feast to Yahweh. That's in Exodus, I think, 32:5. But what does the Day of Atonement commemorate? See, he said in this seventh month there in Leviticus, he said it's a no work day. It's a memorial of shoutings, trumpets, blowing trumpets, which is actually shoutings. And it commemorates when the angels of Yahweh, sons of Yahweh, shouted and applauded his handiwork when he stretched forth the heavens alone, created heaven and earth. Now, he said also on the 10th day of this month is a day of atonement. What do you mean a day of atonement? What happened that day? I tell you what, I believe happened that day, and it just occurred to me when I was seeking Yahweh and praying and meditating on this, and I asked him, I would like to know, and it occurred to me that Yahweh atoned for Adam and Eve's sins on this day, on the 10th day of creation. You said, well, how can you prove that? Well, I went back and looked over there at the count again in creation. Adam was created on the sixth day of the week, but now to us lunar Sabbath keepers, that would be the seventh day of the month, because we believe there was a space of time before the first work day when he created heaven and earth and worked on it for 6 days. So it would be the seventh day of the month that Adam was created. Then he rested the eighth day, which would be the week of Sabbath. Satan had no time to get at Adam at this time. You know, over the New Testament, it talks about how the enemy immediately comes to pluck away that was sold, you know. Well, Yahweh was with Adam all the way up to the end of the sixth day, and he saw that everything was good. He brought all the animals to Adam to see what he would name them and everything. So, you know, he saw everything was good. Then immediately went into the Sabbath, the eighth day of the month. Yahweh was with Adam, communed with him there. But then on the ninth day, guess what? Genesis 3 said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And that's to make it show what you know the story, how he tempted Eve. They sinned on the ninth day, and then that day at evening, which ninth day at evening is when the Day of Atonement begins, which actually beginning of the tenth, because atonement's on the tenth, they heard the voice of Yahweh walking in the garden in the cool of the day, that evening. He said, what have you done? And y'all know the story. So he made them coats of skin on the Day of Atonement, put them out of the garden. Naturally, they didn't have that date. You know, Day of Atonement is the day you afflict your souls, you don't eat fast. So they went out of the garden. I don't believe they had anything to eat, no supper that night. I believe they fasted. That's what they found it in this thing. Of course, we do. We fast on the Day of Atonement. Now, they were two goats. He said that you would bring these goats before Yahweh and you would cast lots. Lot would follow one goat for Yahweh, and it would be sacrificed to atone for the other goat that was called the scapegoat that was turned loose into the wilderness. This, I believe, represented Adam. And the oven represented the Messiah or the Lamb of Yahweh till the Lamb of Yahweh would come and atone, take away the sins of the world. You say, well, Brother Arnold, what makes you think that he killed a lamb and made them coats of skin or whatever he killed? I believe he killed more than a lamb because I believe he made them long sleeve tunics. He killed a bullock. Everything that was prescribed there in Leviticus that he killed for Adam and Eve in clothing. Now, Hebrews talks about without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And this was talking about them animals that were shed up until the time that the true Lamb of God would come to take away the sin of the world. Well, now Adam, when he was put out of the garden, all the sins of the world was caused by Adam. Therefore, one man sin entered into the world. First man, Adam. Well, these goats represented something, and they were to keep them in memory of something. And it was a sad day. You afflict your souls, you're the humble, you say. Well, I believe that they had to be, their sins had to be atoned for. In other words, everywhere else in the scripture, they had to have their sins atoned for. Without shedding the blood, there's no remission of sin. So what it done, it sort of rolled Adam and Eve's sins forward till the Son of Yahweh would come and take away the sin of the world once and for all. But there's probably a lot more to this than I'm seeing. But I'm still looking into it. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Look like my time's getting away. If anybody had a quick question, the cell phone number is 678-300-8676. That's 678-300-8676. I may have time for a quick question. But, you know, we need to get this out about this cycle, Sabbath, that people are doing and try to help them. Because if we take away their crutch, lunar Sabbath's a little more attractive to them. But we got to get that crutch that they keep running back to and say, no, it's Sabbath from creation. Well, if it is, you got two of them. Now, I believe the Sabbath goes back to creation, but the scripture, Genesis 1:14, says, let them, talk about the sun and the moon, be for appointments of Sabbaths. It's not just a strictly solar Sabbath. You have to have the sun and the moon. See, it's a male and a female. The sun's always referred to as he, and the moon's a she. And what y'all are joined together, you don't let man put asunder. Man has booted the moon out of the picture. Julius Caesar did it in 46 B.C. If you look in an encyclopedia, said, let's don't use the moon anymore in calculating the calendar. But you got to have the moon because it beacons. It's for signs. It's, sign is a beacon. It goes on and off. It'll let you know about the appointments. Psalms 104:19 says he appointed the moon for seasons. That word seasons is moeds, moedines. It's appointments. That includes the weekly appointment, because in Leviticus 23, verse 2 and 3, he said, these are my feasts. And that word feast is the same word as seasons. It's appointments, moedines. And the first one is the weekly Sabbath after six work days. People need to wake up. And if you out there hearing me and believing this, you need to help me get it out. We don't ask for people to send money or anything. We tell you, if you believe what we're preaching, go tell somebody else. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. They need help. Pretend like it was you sitting there perched up on that pew listening to some hireling preacher, or maybe some well-meaning preacher that just is in error. Some of them is outright stupid. I'm talking about educated stupid. You said, "Brother Lord, y'all might say like, well, y'all would call them stupid." So I can do whatever his word said. He said they're Scottish. That word Scottish in Hebrew looks up as stupid. Now you can be ignorant. There's a difference between being ignorant. Ignorance not knowing. You can be ignorant of the fact, not be stupid. But he says some people just out and out stupid. But like I said, you don't have to be no rocket science. You do not even have to be spiritual to figure out that that's why they created that dateline, is because you lose or gain a day when you go around the earth. It's a fact. So what do you do if you got a dateline, man-made, imaginary line, and let's say you're on preparation day on the sixth day of the traditional week, and you just got through keeping the preparation day, and you walk across the line, now you got to keep preparation day again. Or vice versa. You may walk across the other way, and you automatically, instead of being in your sixth day, you'd be in the seventh day. It's just confusion. Yahweh's not the author of it. Imagine that line going right down the street. On one side of the street, the stores is holy. They shut. They closed. The other side is unholy. People's working. Yahweh didn't choose a system like this. What if the armies, Moses and the armies of Israel, camped on a dateline, half of them be on one side and half on the other, and he tell them keep the Sabbath day? Look like we're getting a call. Let's go ahead and take this call. Go ahead, you all.
Good evening, Brother Arnold. This is Roger here in Ohio. I wanted to talk to you not long ago about the blue moon. I thought maybe that'd be something you might want to...
Yeah. A lot of people don't know what a blue moon is. A blue moon is you'll have two full moons in one month. Go ahead. You may tell it a little better than I can.
Only by when you have a conflict between the Creator's calendar, the creation calendar, or the lunar calendar, that there's no such thing as two full moons in one month.
That's right.
When you have the Gregorian calendar, after a period of time, I don't know how often it happens, but every now and then you'll have an overlap, just the right amount of overlap, where you'll have two full moons within the same month. Say it might occur in the month of June or July, and then I don't know how many months or years it takes for that to happen again, but it's...
Right.
When somebody says it... once in a blue moon, that means it's real infrequent.
It's rare, yeah. But yeah, you do. We've had one not too long. I looked on my calendar and I seen it. You had two full moons in that same month.
Yeah, I don't know why they call it a blue moon, but I guess seeing a blue moon would be real infrequent too, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. Well, it's not often that you would see two full moons.
Yeah,
that's a good point, but with Yahweh's calendar, that don't happen.
Right.
That's your point, right?
How's
it coming in good up there? Coming in good up there in Ohio?
Very well. Very well.
Good. Okay. Well, I appreciate you calling, Roger, and thank you.
Thanks
a lot. You know, there's a lot of things happen. I appreciate Brother Roger calling. He's a faithful listener there in Ohio, him and his wife, Susan, and they study. Anybody's in that area, you may want to go over a fellowship, study with them. Van Dayton, Ohio. But you know, there's a lot of things comes up when people get off track. Not just the blue moons, two full moons in one month, but two seventh day cycles back to back. You people need to meditate. If you don't believe me, you need to call NASA. They can calculate. They put a man in space, or you can call U.S. Naval Observatory. You can look in any encyclopedia under the International Dateline. If you don't believe that's a reality and a mathematical certainty, then you look it up and you meditate on it. And it's not that hard. It may seem hard at first because your mind ain't used to it, but it's a fact. And that does away with the traditional cycle count. Because I don't think nobody's going to want to acknowledge 2 7-day cycles back to back, do they? No, they don't, because you don't see it nowhere, do you? This number again is 678-300-8676. 678-300-8676. We may have time for one quick one. Got to save your question and hang up because we're running out of time. Not only this time here, but we're running out of time, period. Time is short. People, you owe it to yourself, your families, your loved ones to search a matter out. Like Scripture says, a wise man searches out a matter. You need to search this thing out. You need to be honest with yourself. You need to listen. A lot of people go in a teaching mode when you try to talk to them, want to teach you something. You done studied and then come out of. You can't hardly get them to listen. They try to get on the defense and start trying to defend something that's undefendable. I was going to tell you what the brother told me the other day about his views on it, but let me make an announcement. Running out of time. We're going to have host the Feast of Tabernacles here in Conyers, Georgia. Everybody wants to come, welcome to come. And you can go to our website for more information on what I've talked about. Mainly his true name, his true keeping his laws and his feast days and his true feast days. See, the Bible says the heavens must receive him till the restitution of all things. He's restoring everything back now, people, to true Israel. But the website is lunarsabbath.info. That's lunarsabbath.info, like information, I-N-F-O. Or you can call me as soon as this broadcast is over. Error code is 770, phone number is 483-8542. That's 770-483-8542. 770-483-8542. And we'll be glad to send you free literature. It won't cost you a dime. Ask for the free booklet, proof that the true weekly Sabbaths are determined by the phases of the moon. Ask for our tape, 7001 Reasons Why His Name Can't Be Jesus. Any of this, you need to search these things out. Anyhow, my time's come and gone. We're going to be back on here again on Tuesday, if I don't forget.